People talk about birth stories, breastfeeding challenges, pregnancy. Probably still not enough, but it's talked about. If you want to talk all things baby, you can find it. But very few people talk about miscarriage. And if they do, it's more about the emotions, not the physical side. And it's maybe the emotions in the moment, but not more long-term. And 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. And I just think it needs to be talked about more because it's a lot more common than we think. We miscarried a precious baby in early January, and it shook me how little I knew about miscarriage when we found out that baby didn't have a heartbeat. I'm obsessed with all things fertility, pregnancy, babies, parenting, and I found myself so clueless. Yes, I'm a pediatric sleep consultant, and the main topic of this podcast is sleep, but I'm also a wife and a mom and a friend and a business owner, and real life happens. And I've said I'm going to share the tougher moments of parenting and also the joys. So today's episode is a tougher moment. I want to open up the conversation around miscarriage and simply share my story. Whether you're a mom or hope to be a mom one day, or you're just friends with a mom, I hope this sheds more light on miscarriage. I wish I had had this kind of conversation before our miscarriage, and I simply didn't know it needed to be had. Hey there, I'm Lauren Engler, your fellow mom friend and pediatric sleep consultant of Via Graces. This is a place where you'll learn all the sleep tips and tricks so you feel equipped to navigate the ups and downs of your little one's sleep. You'll also get an inside look at our family's life as I share the real joys and tougher moments of parenting. So whether you're nap trapped, driving to daycare pickup, or you're enjoying a solo evening walk, my goal is for this podcast to be another reminder that when it comes to most things in parenting, all it takes is a plan and a whole lot of grace. I'm so glad you're here. I've got to be honest with you. I generally have a pretty good plan when I hit the record button for these podcast episodes, and I have a wonderful podcast editor who makes things sound good when I mess up. And I kind of have a plan in front of me. I definitely have an outline of kind of what happened and when and the points that I want to hit. So I have notes in a general outline, but this just didn't feel like an episode I could really plan in its entirety. So who knows what exactly you'll get today. I try to keep these episodes in bite-sized pieces, and this one will definitely be a big bite. I don't know, maybe it'll end up in 2 parts. We'll see. And before I dive in, let me be very clear. None of what I share is medical advice, and I am not telling you what decisions you should or should not make. I'm simply sharing my personal experience. I also want you to know that a lot of what I experienced physically was kind of worst case scenario. So this is definitely not a blanket statement or story about what miscarriage is like for everyone. It's my story, and I'm sharing it with you. So when we found out we were miscarrying, it was the Friday before Christmas. We had our ultrasound appointment. We should have been about 10 weeks along. And I will just say, the ultrasound appointment was so weird. We've got 3 kiddos. I know what this appointment is supposed to be like. And from the get-go, it was just kind of bizarre, honestly, even before she started the actual ultrasound. But within like 5 minutes, she was not showing us anything. She was not saying anything. And like, this is the appointment where you walk away with the ultrasound picture that you put on your fridge. We have like the same picture. Our girls were born in August, September, October. And so basically the same season, wearing the same coats. We have like the picture in the car after the ultrasound appointment, kind of selfie of Jason and me. Like, I know that we walk away from this initial ultrasound appointment with a picture of baby. And we, as soon as the ultrasound tech sees baby, they turn the screen so you get to watch what's going on. Maybe see those tiny little legs kick, or you're like, oh, that's a baby. That's crazy. Anyway, I know what this appointment is supposed to be like. Now, we had planned on having a home birth, so we had to get the ultrasound at like a separate radiology location. It wasn't like it was at the same hospital where we deliver, or it's not like my OB was looking at the results right after. Nothing like that, which I think was part of the weirdness, but like, our last baby was a home birth. We've done this before. Was not this weird. Anyway, within a couple of minutes, nothing had been said. We hadn't seen anything. And I turned to the lady and I was like, you might not be able to say anything, but like, is everything okay? And she, again, like the techs are not allowed to say anything. And I know that, but also like, gosh, can you just say something to us? And so she just was like, oh, you know, if there's pictures to be had, you'll get pictures. And, you know, maybe you're not as far along as you thought you were. Sometimes we just don't count our cycles correctly, or sometimes your cycles aren't normal. And I'm like, no, my cycles are normal. And I do count them correctly. Like, this should be normal. She was like, hey, have you gotten your blood work done yet? I'm like, nope, this is our first appointment. You know, we're going to have an appointment with my midwife in a couple weeks. It was just weird. And it was probably, I don't know, a 20-ish minute ultrasound. And that was that. We were on our merry old way. We had no pictures. No one said a thing. And I, like, it was one of those moments where it was like, I know that something has to be wrong, but she's not saying there's something wrong. So I don't want to just assume something's wrong, but also, like, what are the other options? And we got into the car and I looked at Jason and I was like, I don't think she saw a living baby. Like, maybe she didn't see a baby at all, or maybe she saw a baby without a heartbeat, but I don't think she saw a living baby, because we would have pictures. And I think that would have been a very different appointment. Anyway, it was bizarre. She'd also said, like, okay, you know, once the radiologist looks at these, they'll get back to you. Well, this was Friday at like 4 o'clock. Christmas was Monday. And I was like, hey, since it's Friday, it's so late, do you think we'll get the results like today or not until next week? And she was like, oh yeah, maybe next week. And then I was like, but hey, Monday's Christmas. Like, will we not get the results until Tuesday? And it was like, oh yeah, maybe. And again, like, we're in the car and I was like, this is not good enough. Like, this is not okay. So texted my midwife. She called when she was able and basically was like, yeah, that sounds really strange. Let me call them and make sure they put like a stat order on this so you don't have to wait until next week, which I'm like, thank you. Because this is not just like, hey, we're doing this ultrasound to check for this thing. I don't even know what to be checking for. But like, I want to know if I have a living baby inside me or not. This is not something we can wait all weekend. So anyway, my midwife was able to get a hold of like radiology department. They put kind of a stat order on it. So we knew we'd get results by that evening. Came home and gosh, that was just the weirdest limbo, because it was like something is not right, but we don't know what's not right. And we can't just jump to a conclusion that with some miscarriage, like my mom experienced two miscarriages, but one of them was a blighted ovum, which my very basic understanding is like she wasn't actually pregnant, but her body thought she was pregnant, acting like it was pregnant. Anyway, I just knew that something was wrong, but we didn't really know what. So it was a very strange limbo. I also have to say something that I kind of just feel like was like the Lord's mercy, honestly, maybe Lord's protection, Lord's preparation, is this whole pregnancy. I had told a lot of close friends, like told my parents that we were pregnant. And almost every time I told someone, I was like, we're pregnant. I mean, maybe like we'll find out at the first ultrasound, but like we're probably pregnant. Whereas with the other three girls, it was just like, we're pregnant. But with this baby, there was just something. I just think the Lord was preparing us in advance of like, maybe something could be different. I don't know. I also think there's that piece of like, you kind of know, like the more kids you have, the more awareness you have of all the things that like could go wrong or not. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I feel like the Lord was preparing us in advance kind of for this news to come. So anyway, we were supposed to be 10 weeks along at this point, got the ultrasound results, baby only measured at 6.5 weeks old. So even just like one misconception, or I guess not 6.5 weeks old, like 6.5 weeks of measurement, which is 6.5 weeks old. Anyway, I feel like one misconception was right there. I was technically 10 weeks along, but baby's heart stopped beating at 6.5 weeks. Like, we had zero signs of miscarriage, absolutely no spotting, like no reason to think we are miscarrying, even though baby didn't have a heartbeat for almost 4 weeks. And I think a really common, like, oh yeah, I'm spotting, therefore maybe I'm having a miscarriage. You go and you find out. Now, this was like everything felt totally normal, just ultrasound didn't show anything. And then we had to wait a couple hours to see what was wrong. So just one misconception right there, you can miscarry without having the signs of miscarrying. Now, when my midwife got the results, she called us right away. Actually, it was funny. She called me to be like, still waiting for results, but let's just chat. And then as we were on the phone, she's like, just kidding. I think the results just came through, which again, like, thank you, Jesus. But basically she was like, hey, you have three options moving forward, or like kind of two options, but maybe three options. So she was like, option number one is you can just wait for your body to naturally miscarry. Option two was you can take medication called Cytotec that would basically like help your body start the miscarriage, kind of get things started for you. You usually just need to take one dose, sometimes two. And actually, I think at first she just shared those, like you can wait for it to naturally happen, or you can take medication to help it along. And then I was like, hey, what about a DNC? Because I really, I feel like I'd really only ever heard of the DNC. And she's like, well, like, yes, it's like an option, but like when we can avoid procedures, we want to avoid procedures. So yes, a DNC is there, but like, that's not our go-to, which I was like, yeah, I agree. I'm thankful with that. But I remember being like, hey, but I feel like the reason I've always heard of people doing DNCs is like, you don't want to be in the middle of Target and all of a sudden you gush out of nowhere. And she was like, yeah, like usually you have some sort of warning that's likely not going to happen. And so I felt comfortable waiting. And I just chose to naturally wait for baby to pass. I didn't like the idea of taking the medication, even like if it brought on more intense side effects or like more intense cramping, or you could get a fever. And I was like, I would rather wait to see what my body naturally does. That waiting part was really hard because my body still felt pregnant. I was still really tired as if I was pregnant. I still had that like bloated feeling like maybe I was kind of showing at the end of the day because this is my fourth baby. Still no signs of miscarrying. So it was like I had to keep reminding my brain that we no longer had a baby growing inside, even though my body still thought there was a baby growing inside. Every time I went to the bathroom, I checked the toilet paper to see if there was any spotting or signs of when it would happen, and there was nothing. So that waiting was really hard. Now, after chatting with my midwife, so again, after that initial conversation about just like, this is what it might look like, because I just wanted to know, because I had no clue what it might look like. So after we hung up, I texted a couple of my close friends who I know have miscarried, and I asked them about the physical side. And like, this might sound weird, but like, I realized I had only ever asked them. I knew when they miscarried, they shared that with me. And I only ever knew about the emotional side. I only ever knew to ask about the emotional side. The physical side, like, never even crossed my mind. Whereas now on this side of miscarriage, I was so sad. I had no idea what they went through physically, because no matter what path you take, like wait naturally, take the Cytotec DNC, miscarriage is physical. And so I texted those friends like, one, I'm sorry that I never asked this, but two, do you mind sharing what the physical side of miscarriage was like for you? And I was actually surprised. The friends that I texted, most of them had actually waited for the miscarriage to naturally happen. Some of them had signs of miscarriage, and then they went to get an ultrasound and that confirmed it. Some started miscarrying within days of their ultrasound. But again, I was even surprised there because I'd really only ever heard of a DNC. Yet, like, the people closest to me who I know have miscarried all waited naturally for it to happen. So again, just kind of an interesting road there, journey. Again, wake up call to like, wow, there's a lot here that I just don't know. Then again, I just feel like the Lord's grace. We were at a New Year's party a couple of days later, and I was chatting with the mom, and we were chatting about kids. And anyway, miscarriage came up. And she shared with me that about a year and a half ago, she had had a miscarriage and ended up with a DNC because she had had excessive bleeding. And she was really thankful that the DNC ended it. She was also really sweet. She was like, I'm going to be bringing a meal to a family who lives close by to you on Saturday. I'm going to bring you a meal as well, if that's okay. And like, little did any of us know that I miscarried on Friday, and she had already planned on bringing that meal on Saturday. So that was just a huge, huge gift. Another like God timing thing. There was another mom from our church who came over one morning, kind of in that like 2 week waiting period, waiting to miscarry. She literally came over just to drop off some sweet gifts for the girls. She was like, oh, I've been wanting to bring these over for a while. And we were just chatting, how you doing? And I shared with her that we had miscarried, or we're kind of, you know, that's even kind of weird. We know that we're going to miscarry, but like the actual miscarriage is when baby comes out. So anyway, shared with her what was going on. She shared that they had had a miscarriage between baby number 3 and baby number 4 and kind of shared her journey. She shared with me that they were able to see the baby, and that was like, gosh, that was a prayer for us during our waiting time of like, I know it might not be possible because baby's so tiny, but I want to see baby if that's possible. It was just even encouraging to know that she was able to see baby. She talked about how they memorialized. It was just helpful to have that conversation with someone, and just again hearing kind of all the options they were on the table, and just what different people experienced. Another piece of miscarriage I didn't know about was getting regular blood work. So when you are about to miscarry, even after, you have to get your HCG levels tested, I don't know, weekly-ish, to make sure the numbers are going down. You want them to keep decreasing and eventually go negative to basically show there's no more evidence of baby and your system is wiped clean. So that was even just like a practical yeah, piece of miscarrying that I had no idea existed was regular blood work. Now, from the day that we found out that baby was gone from that ultrasound until I actually miscarried was exactly 2 weeks, kind of a Friday to a Friday, 2 weeks later. Again, my midwife was monitoring me that whole time. I was getting the regular blood work, including a CBC, actually just to make sure there was no infection. She was basically like, I'm okay waiting. If you're okay waiting, as long as we know that everything is okay, you know, you're not showing any signs of anything else going wrong. I will say toward the end of that second week, I was definitely getting tired of waiting. And so I had kind of like loosely decided if I go a whole other week, like if this goes 3 weeks without miscarrying, I'm going to go for the Cytotec. I'm going to opt for the medication just so I don't have to wait any longer, because the waiting was hard. And another piece you don't think about is like making plans was kind of weird. Like, hey guys, you're invited to this New Year's party. Sure, we'd love to be there unless I'm miscarrying. Like, Jason, can you give this talk after church to the youth? Yeah, of course. I mean, unless we're miscarrying. So the waiting was hard. Making plans was hard. You felt like there was this caveat. Like it was bizarre. Kind of a pause, because I know a lot of people have asked me this and something I want to share. A lot of people wondered what we did with our girls. So they are 6, 4, and 18 months now. And we told them pretty early on when we were pregnant, you know, we're a family. This would be a change happening for a family. We want to invite them in on this gift that it is that we're pregnant. They're going to notice mom is more tired. So we told them very early on that we were pregnant. So we pretty much told them immediately after the miscarriage. The plan had actually been, we're going to go get the ultrasound, and then we're going to come home with pictures of the baby. We're going to wrap it up in a gift, put it under the tree to tell the rest of my family for Christmas. We had told my parents a couple weeks prior. We were going to tell all my siblings, and we didn't come home with pictures. We like came upstairs, and right away it was like, Mom, where are the pictures? Where are the pictures? And we like, just hang on, I'll tell you in a second. Had to, you know, thank the babysitter. But basically we're like, well, we don't have pictures. We don't really know, but there might be something wrong with baby. So that was even kind of strange to communicate. But then, you know, within a couple hours, my midwife called me. I went upstairs, was crying. And I just like, I mean, I think it's important for them to see the emotions and kind of like have an understanding as much as their little minds can understand. And we wanted them to be able to ask questions. Thankfully, it was also close to bedtime, so like we wouldn't have 6 hours worth of questions. My four-year-old started talking about dinosaurs. I feel like she said something like, yeah, maybe that sometimes happens to mama dinosaurs too with their eggs. Again, who knows what her little four-year-old self was doing. I remember too, a week or so later, she caught herself brainstorming baby names and was like, oh, wait, baby's not there. So you could definitely see her little wheel spinning. My sweet six-year-old, as we were putting the other two girls to bed, she came downstairs and drew a picture of a baby with an umbilical cord tied to it. And she hung it up on the wall by her family pictures. Like you just see, that was how her little brain was processing, which I think is beautiful. And we just tried being, yeah, really open with the conversation, because again, miscarriage is something that would impact our whole family, just like pregnancy, bringing in a baby. So our girls were kind of in on it from the beginning. Okay, now to the actual miscarrying. So again, I miscarried officially on a Friday, but I started to very lightly spot on a Wednesday, which was another gift from the Lord. I had a friend coming to town. She and her husband live far away. We haven't seen them in a while. They were coming to town, which again was a like, I hope I can see you unless I'm miscarrying. But I started very lightly spotting that morning and texted her like, hey, spotting, just want to keep you posted. But she's actually one of the girlfriends that I texted who I know had miscarried. So I feel like that was even a gift to have her there that day of like, hey, remind me again what it's like. And she like intimately knew what was going on, but no cramping, nothing, super light spotting, nothing happened. Then again, Thursday, very lightly spotted, still basically nothing. Woke up Friday morning, and when I got up, went to the bathroom, I felt a little gush, and I could tell that I had passed a little blood clot. So I was like, okay, this like today is probably when things are going to start a little bit more. But again, like who knows what that's actually going to look like. This might seem kind of weird or gross, but I mentioned really wanting to see the baby if possible. So Jason and I had decided to sacrifice a sieve from the kitchen. We obviously bought a new one so we could catch what was coming out and try to see baby. A friend had mentioned knowing others who did that, and I was really grateful for that tip. So my wonderful hubby went fishing for that little clot in the toilet, and from then on, I used the sieve. Now, I just didn't think I would go from 0 to 100 like I did. So I actually sent Jason to work. He was like, hey, I can cancel my counseling schedule. I was like, no, we'll be fine. Like if something's going to happen, it's not going to be till later. I had no idea. He just had one counseling session and then he had just some work he was going to do, some lunch plans, but I knew I could get a hold of him if need be. I just didn't think things would happen so fast, and they happened fast. I had actually texted my midwife to see if she could chat that day. I knew she'd be traveling the next day. And I just wanted to go over one more time, like, what's normal, what's not normal, where are the red flags, not even realizing that I would need her again like 20, 30 minutes later. So even just like a classic blanket piece of advice you're given when miscarrying is, if you're flooding through a pad in less than an hour, like, that's a thing. Well, I was like flooding through pads every 15 minutes. I mean, again, but thankfully I work with a midwife who is patient centered. So yes, like, take that blanket advice, really important to know. But she also wanted to know how I was feeling and what was actually happening. So like I said, I was flooding through a pad every like 15-ish minutes. I would pee, change my pad, like, do it all over the sieve. And then I would weed through the clots to see if I could find baby. Gosh, and side note there, I'm so thankful for that sieve. Again, I know this might sound really gross to some people, because it also just helped me see the size of the clots, which got very important very quickly. Just another side note, again, my girls, like, were very open in our household. They were coming upstairs a little bit. And I was like, hey girls, just so you know, like, please don't use this bathroom. You know, they could kind of see what was going on. But also, oh my word, another just like, Lord's mercy and kindness. Usually I get breakfast ready for the girls, right? Like, they're capable of kind of pouring their cereal, but like, they just, I get breakfast ready for them. But that morning, as I had just barely started miscarrying, things were definitely not intense. But my 6-year-old Olivia was like, Mom, is it okay if I go pour myself some cereal? And I was like, yeah, like, go for it. And if Avery needs help, make sure you help her. And then like, Isla, our youngest, can thankfully go up and down the stairs safely. So I was like, yeah, and if she comes downstairs, like, just give her some Cheerios, whatever. Like, they were on it, and not even because I was like, you know, it wasn't this desperate, like, you guys have to take care of each other. They just did, which let me take care of my stuff. Gosh, I came down at one point and my 4-year-old was like up on a stool cutting a bagel. We have these like kid safe, you know, kitchen knives, and she's never cut a bagel before. Like, cut the bagel, put it in the toaster, tried buttering it. You know, there's crumbs all over the floor. There's milk spills. I mean, it's a mess down there, but they're doing it, which was just such a sweet, like, just a sweet thank you, Jesus. But between, you know, making sure the girls have breakfast, at one point I jumped down there. I'm like, okay, you can't just have cereal. Like, gave them some yogurt, got my baby in her high chair, ran back upstairs to change a pad, came downstairs. I had to give Olivia her chemo pill, came back upstairs, you know, knew Isla would be done, had to get her out of the high chair. And Olivia was like, okay, thanks, Mom, because I definitely couldn't have gotten her out of the high chair and cleaned her off. She's so messy. But it just, like, it was like a full-time job. And I could have, and maybe should have called Jason. But honestly, like, between sifting through everything, taking care of the girls, texting my midwife, calling her, it kind of felt like one more thing to call him that I just didn't feel like I had the time for. I knew that he would be home soon. I had texted him and be like, hey, when you're done, come home. Don't do the extra work. Don't do lunch. And so I knew he'd be home. And I just, yeah, I was like, I just need to focus on like making it through. And I know he'll be home. And he would be done in an hour. So anyway, it was exhausting. It was really hard. Other friends had shared how exhausting it was that they had passed clots. But I think there's definitely a normal with passing clots, and there's definitely an abnormal. So again, was in really close touch with my midwife. I still felt physically fine, was flooding through those pads. She said that that could still happen for maybe an hour or two, but she would not want it happening any longer, like that constant flooding. And also, like, if the way that I physically feel starts changing, obviously that would be a red flag as well. So anyway, I knew Jason would be home very soon. It was time for Isla's morning nap, which was going to be a big relief of like, I know that she's taken care of. I told the girls they could just watch TV. And as I was laying her down for a nap, I could feel a very large clot kind of getting ready to come out. I laid her down, and like, as I walked across the hallway, kind of back to my bathroom, past a really large clot. Thankfully, Jason literally got home like 3 minutes later. I was on the phone with a midwife. I had sent her a picture, and she's like, yeah, like that's pretty big. It was probably the size of like, probably a little bigger than my fist, like the size of my hand. And she was like, if that happens again, definitely call me and pay attention to how you feel. So anyway, Jason helped clean things up. Actually, really funny. He heard me on the phone with the midwife. He heard me mention Isla. He was like kind of panicking because of what he saw in the bathroom, and was like, where's Isla? Because she's mobile. Busted into her room. She had literally been asleep for like 5 minutes, obviously woke her up. And I was like, Jason, like, this is the one thing we needed. But thankfully she was content to sit with her sisters for 30 minutes. He put her down again 30 minutes later, and it worked, which like easily could not have worked. So again, thank you, Jesus. But anyway, After Isla was settled downstairs with the girls because she was woken up from her nap, I got in the shower because I was a mess. And within like 2-3 minutes, I started to feel lightheaded. I thought maybe this could be from the heat. So I got out, laid in bed, and maybe within like 10-15 minutes, I felt another gush coming, went to the bathroom. This time it was an even bigger clot, almost like kind of took two hands to hold, still lightheaded. So I called my midwife and she was like, yeah, like you need to go to the ER. So called a friend from church who lives close by. She could come watch the girls, and Jason left with me to the ER. Thankfully, it's like 5 minutes away. So we got in there right away. Thankfully, we didn't have to wait at all. They asked for a urine sample. Jason was like, I'm coming in with you, which I was like, okay, fine. And like after I got off the toilet, Jason was like, well, if we're in here, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I started to feel lightheaded. So I was like leaning against the wall. And I remember hearing Jason be like, help. And I was about to be like, Jason, chill out. Everything's fine. But I woke up on the floor with people being like, Lauren, do you know what just happened? I had passed out from such significant blood loss. So that's kind of a funny part of the story that Jason and I laughed about. Like, I was about to be like, Jason, you're ridiculous. And I fell to the ground. Thankfully, he caught me. He opened the door in time. There was some big nurse dude there. They caught me, so that was okay. So then obviously I was bedridden. They gave me a medication called TXA through my IV, supposed to help clot the bleeding. In the meantime, the like OB on call, I don't even know what to call her, the ER OB did a pelvic exam to make sure there are no clots stuck or anything. Then they did an ultrasound. The doctor confirmed there was no sign of baby. The radiologist needed to actually do the full report. I bled quite a bit during the ultrasound, so they did another pelvic exam after that. And then they were like, hey, apparently we were at like a standalone ER, not connected to a hospital. And they were like, we want to get you to a different ER that is connected to a hospital with an OB department so you can be observed further. And so they can see if you're going to need a DNC. So they were going to transport me by ambulance over to this other ER. And in the meantime, they also gave me some Cytotec, which is again, like the medication I could have taken to have the miscarriage start, to also help clot the blood all the more. So rode in the ambulance to the hospital while Jason drove, had very minimal bleeding, was super thankful for that. There was a lot of waiting in that ER. They drew blood again once we were there. My hemoglobin had registered at 12 when we first got to the ER that morning. And now a few hours later in the second ER, it was down to an 8. So that was, of course, very significant and definitely explained why I was passing out. So still bedridden. I remember really having to go to the bathroom. They tried putting on like a catheter that basically just felt like a pad. I don't know, like a little pad in the shape of a banana that they hook up to you into a suction. So you just pee into it and it sucks it up. I could not pee in that thing. I could not relax and just like pee in bed. So that didn't happen. But actually while the catheter was like there as I was trying to pee, OB finally came down as he was standing there. I actually had another big gush of blood when he was there. The catheter just kind of sucked it all up. And I remember, gosh, I remember him being like, hang in there. And I was like, you are not a female and you don't have a uterus and you actually have no clue what's going on right now. Anyway, then he did another pelvic exam, which was really uncomfortable. Again, like you could tell he was a man, not a woman. And it felt awful, but he said he was happy with what he saw, no need for a DNC, and he left. Still had to pee. So they said I could try to get up as long as someone came in the bathroom with me. And so I was sitting on the edge of the bed seeing if this was going to work, and I passed out again. So they were definitely not going to let me getting up. They needed to use an actual catheter this time. But honestly, I was thankful. I just wanted some sort of relief. So they also hooked up more fluids to my IV, basically to try to boost my blood volume so that I would not continue to feel so lightheaded. And now a couple hours later, it's like 7 p.m. and they came and they said, okay, in order for you to go home, you need to be able to get up without passing out, which obviously makes sense. So they said, hey, we can give you a blood transfusion and you should be out of here by 1 a.m. or so, or you could stay overnight for observation, simply see how you're doing in the morning, go from there. Or I could try to get up again and see how it goes. I wanted to get home. So to me, it seemed like either getting the transfusion, going home a couple hours later, or just trying to get up again and going home were the only options. Staying overnight just for observation without doing anything did not seem great. So I was like, if I can get home sooner, that would be amazing. So we finished up the fluids. I got up again and success. Yay. I was able to get up. I did not pass out, was able to go to the bathroom on my own, was able to go home. Now, what they did not tell me was that with the transfusion, or what they didn't tell me is if I didn't get the transfusion, how terrible I would likely feel without it. So I made the decision basically like, well, I'd rather go home in an hour rather than 5 hours. So no transfusion. If they had told me what a difference a transfusion would have made, I probably would have chosen otherwise because I felt terrible all weekend long. I was in bed. I had a pounding headache anytime I got up. Still had a pretty obnoxious headache even when I was laying down, relaxing. Motrin, Tylenol did not touch it. I knew that I wouldn't feel like $1 million, but it was really, really rough. Really tired, slept a lot, just again, completely bedridden unless I got up to go to the bathroom. Now, this whole time I was in really close touch with my midwife, which also just a side note, the whole time I was in the ER, at both places, they were like, okay, so who's your OB? Oh, well, actually, I have a midwife. Yeah, but who's your OB? No, I have a home birth midwife. Well, what gynecology practice is she connected to? She's not. She has her own business. And they kind of looked at me. One of the people was like, well, are you even getting prenatal care? Yes, I'm getting prenatal care. I wanted to be like, listen, I've been texting and calling her all day. I'm sending her pictures. I can't imagine. I mean, I feel like I was getting the best care possible from her, and she wasn't even a doctor at the hospital. Like, if I was with any OB practice, I would not be getting that kind of care. So anyway, it was one of those like, if they say one more thing, hopefully I can have a really smart comment to tell them. Thankfully they didn't, but oh my goodness gracious. So anyway, all weekend long, I'm in touch with my midwife. She knows how terrible I'm feeling. And again, did not expect me to feel amazing, but was just feeling really, really crappy. So on Monday, she sent me in for some more lab work and my hemoglobin had dropped again, now to 7.5, and under 7 is we are for sure transfusing. So definitely low. And she also tested my iron levels specifically and they were extremely low. So she said, go back to the ER and do not leave until they give you a blood transfusion or an iron transfusion. So we are back at the ER Tuesday, waited forever in the waiting room, and they finally gave me a blood transfusion. That pounding headache that I basically had all weekend long went away pretty quickly. I was still really tired. I was still really weak, would still kind of sit in the shower, sit on my bed while brushing my teeth. I remember the first time I showered standing the whole time. I came out, was able to brush my hair, got dressed, and I was really out of breath. Something, I think it was like, gosh, I should know more, but I think your hemoglobin or your red platelet, something kind of carries oxygen. So when your blood counts are low, like you don't have as much ability to carry oxygen around your body. So not surprising that I was so out of breath from doing something so seemingly simple. But all that to say, I was still really bedridden for another solid week. After about a week in bed, I was able to come downstairs for like 1 hour one day, then 2 hours the next, then 3 hours the next. And by the end of 2 weeks, I was back to doing what I needed to do. I was able to care for my girls. Just a side note here, my mom was here for this entire 2 weeks. There is no way we could have done this without her because I was truly able to rest and recover in bed like I needed to. Jason could still work a little bit. And between my mom and Jason, they took care of the girls. They took care of me. Super necessary. And at the end of the 2 weeks, when she went back home, I was able to take care of my girls, function as I needed to. I was still just really tired. Something that was really surprising to me, I've definitely never experienced, is I don't know if you've heard the phrase, your body remembers or the body remembers. I've certainly heard that before. It's never meant anything to me. But you know, this whole 2 weeks I'm in bed, I'm not putting my kids to bed. I'm not putting Isla down for naps. Jason and my mom are handling that. Well, the first day or two after she was gone, I put Isla down for the first nap I had done in about 2 weeks. It was her morning nap. And as I was laying her down, my body literally, like I felt like I was about to pass a blood clot. I had not been passing clots for 2 weeks. Like that was done. But I felt like I was about to pass a blood clot. And I put her down and I walked away and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing the same pants that I was wearing the last time I put her down for a nap, which was as I was miscarrying, which was right as the first of two huge blood clots came out. And it was as I was, you know, in her room, laying her down, wearing those pants. And I literally, like the only way I can explain it is my body remembered the last time that I was in that situation. And that was definitely a surprise to me. Just crazy how, I don't know, your body can hold on to those memories. So anyway, just peeling back for a second again to remind you that this kind of everything that I'm sharing here is definitely not normal, definitely awful case scenario when it comes to miscarriage, but still real and a huge in the face reminder of how physical miscarriage is. Your body has to go through some physical process to release your baby, and it's hard. I will also add that one physical symptom I really didn't have was any cramping. My midwife and my girlfriends who have miscarried all shared that they had a space of more intense cramping, maybe 2-3 hours where it was heavier cramping, really uncomfortable. And I feel like that was the one thing I was spared of. I also don't really cramp when I'm on my period normally, so I don't know if that's connected at all, but I was certainly thankful to skip that part. I wish I could say this was the end of the physical, but it wasn't. So actual miscarriage was January 5th. Then I bled for an entire month. And let me tell you, I was over it. And I was so over wearing pads every day. Just wanted it to be done. The bleeding was definitely lessening over time, very slowly, but very surely. I was still getting regular blood work. My HCG was still going negative. There were still no signs of infection. But then one morning I woke up and there was something in my pad, wasn't a clot, wasn't just blood, just wasn't normal. So I sent a picture to my midwife. She said it looked like amniotic tissue, which was like, that would explain why you've still been bleeding this whole time. And she said, I really think you need to get a DNC now, and that she would call around to figure it out for me. Because again, to get a DNC, you need time to meet with an OB and then to get it on the calendar. And it was that I feel like I don't have time. I don't want to wait any longer. We just need this to happen. So also at the same time, my midwife looked back at my hospital records. She pulled up my ultrasound report and it said, the radiologist who looked over the report said that there was something still in my uterus, which is likely what had then just passed that morning. And when I looked at it, the report kind of timestamp showed that it was available about 2 hours before the OB saw me at that second ER. So I don't know if he simply didn't look at the ultrasound results. I don't know what happened, but basically my midwife was like, he should have had that report. He did have the ability to see it. If he would have seen that, he should have given me a DNC right then and there, because it showed that something still hadn't passed. Like, I could have gone septic with having something stuck inside me for that long. And just one of those hindsight things that you wish you would have brought up in the moment. I wish we would have been like, well, did you check the ultrasound when he said, hey, you look good? I wish we would have said, hey, did you check the ultrasound? But to be honest, like, why would we ask him that with how confident he was with the pelvic exam and how uncomfortable that pelvic exam was? I figured he was right up in there seeing it all. Well, it turns out the pelvic exam doesn't actually go into your uterus. So that was super frustrating, knowing that that just was not handled properly. So note to self, if this were to ever happen next time, remember all the tests that I got done and make sure everybody is ticking off all the boxes. Anyway, my midwife was able to pull some strings with her friend who's an OB. I want to say I passed an extra tissue on a Wednesday, and by Friday I had a telehealth appointment scheduled for Tuesday, and they had already scheduled the DNC for that Wednesday. Even if we weren't going to get the DNC, they wanted to make sure it was on the calendar, which I was super grateful for. The OB was wonderful. We had our telehealth consult, and she basically was like, hey, because you are healthy, that was probably the last of what's to pass. Generally, for women like you, we would wait an extra week or so just to observe. We can do another ultrasound because, again, a DNC is a procedure. When we can avoid a procedure, we want to. And then she also said, hey, but I've been talking to your midwife. I also understand that you're kind of over this. If you want to move forward with a DNC, that's totally fine. And I was like, yeah, I want to move forward with a DNC. I wish I didn't have to get one, but I clearly need one. And I want what's best for my body, because that's also what's best for my family. So she was like, yep, we're going to do the DNC tomorrow. And so went in the next day. Thankfully, we had a sitter and everything lined up. And after doing the DNC, they said there was still quite a bit of what they call retained product of conception, meaning there was still stuff inside that was supposed to be out. So it's a very good thing I had it when I did. Which, even just another side note there, I'm not surprised with all of the medical jargon they use, but also was just kind of frustrating again, like retained product of conception. Sometimes I just wanted to be like, that was a baby, like that was my baby. Or I think on the initial ultrasound result, like when we found out baby didn't have a heartbeat, it called it like the fetal pole, which is basically like the fetus, my baby. And again, I totally understand the need for the medical jargon, but just those little things are just that extra salt in the wound. Like, you know, talk about this as the life that it was inside of me. Anywho, I had no idea what to expect DNC wise. If you don't know, with a DNC, the OB basically vacuums out your uterus to make sure there's nothing left in there. I went under anesthesia for the procedure. My midwife mentioned that some people wake up and have kind of sore hips. Thankfully, I woke up feeling really good. The sore hips would just be from like your feet being up in stirrups for a while. Thankfully, that was not an issue. For a few days, I kind of felt like I had done an intense ab workout like the prior week. So no intense pain or anything, but just kind of a low level of soreness. I could just tell something had happened down there. So I just rested for an extra couple of days, tried to be wise with my activity level, but otherwise I honestly felt pretty great. My bleeding finally stopped 2 weeks after the DNC. I continued to get my HCG levels tested until they were finally negative, which actually wasn't until a few weeks after the DNC. So it took still much longer than I thought. I also started getting iron infusions, which made a huge difference to my energy levels and just overall feel because I was still so tired. I would hit a wall come 1 or 2 p.m. and could easily take a 2-3 hour nap and was often still setting my alarm because I was just so tired and just from being so depleted of everything good that I needed my body to function. Now, I want to reiterate that this is not a blanket. Here's what happens in a miscarriage. This is simply my story, but I was shocked at how physical a miscarriage would be and then how physical it actually was. And I had no idea. For me personally, it was way more physical than it was emotional. And I'll get to the emotional part next. But whether you wait to miscarry naturally, take medication to help move things along, or get a DNC, it is a physical process. And kind of segueing into the emotion piece, what an awful way to birth a baby and enter postpartum. We did an unmedicated hospital birth, then an unmedicated birth center birth, and finally a home birth with our third baby, and planned on having a home birth for this baby. So little intervention and the natural process is our hope. And not only did we not get to meet this baby earthside, but we had quite the hospital experience and what felt like every intervention necessary to quote unquote birth this baby. I bled for weeks, but without the reward of a newborn to snuggle. Not to mention a huge bonus of being pregnant is that you don't have to have a period for a while. So this was like extra sucker punch to the gut that not only are you no longer pregnant, but you're going to have the worst period of your life. And your body still goes through the postpartum motions, but again, you don't have that newborn to snuggle. And it's hard again for my kids to be like, why is mom still in bed? The miscarriage happened a long time ago. So I feel like I've said this so many times, just so shocked and taken back by how physical everything was. Now, when we first found out that we miscarried in that initial conversation or that we were going to miscarry, in our initial conversation with our midwife, she shared a couple things that were really helpful. One, she just reminded me, hey, I know that you know this, but I need you to remember that miscarriage is not your fault and it's not because you did anything wrong. And I hadn't gone there yet. And like, I know that miscarriage is not your fault. It's really easy to feel like you could have prevented it. I totally had this moment of like, oh, but we went to Disney a couple weeks ago and I wore Isla for pretty much 3 days straight. Maybe that wore me out. Maybe that was too much physical activity. One, the timing did not line up, but two, like, why would I do that to myself? It's just not worth it to try to think about what you maybe could have done differently. Like miscarriage is not your fault. And I think that's so important to know and remember and remind people. The other thing she warned me of was that people might make some weird comments. I think often when people miscarry, some very well-meaning people might say something like, oh, but you already have 3 healthy babies, or, oh, it's for the best. Your body knew what it was doing. And again, well-meaning people, but not helpful comments in the moment. I thankfully actually didn't get any of those, but I know a lot of people who have. 2 comments that I will never forget. One was from the ER doctor from when I went in for the blood transfusion. He came in and said, so I hear you had a baby. And I was like, no, I actually had a miscarriage. Very similarly, when I was going in for my first appointment to get the iron infusion, the doctor came in and said, so you had an abortion. And I was like, no, I had a miscarriage. And just one of those times where, again, I wish that I was really quick on my feet and like had a comment to say, because you can't say that. Like, check your paperwork one more time before you walk in there, because you hit the wrong person. Like, oh my word, I will never forget those comments. So For me, the emotions really, I don't know, were a roller coaster, coming and going, came and gone, came and left, whatever that is. It was really hard when we found out that we miscarried, and then, or that we were going to miscarry. And then the waiting game of when the miscarriage would actually happen was just really strange, because again, we knew mentally we didn't have a baby anymore, but my body still thought that it did. So it just wasn't always front of mind. Plus, I have three young girls at home with me. So like that distraction is really real. It just wasn't always front of mind for me. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, right, this isn't a thing anymore. Then the morning that I started miscarrying, that was really hard. I definitely broke down a couple times in between changing my pad and sifting through the clots. Like, how unnatural is that process? And when my husband called the friend from church and we were about to head to the ER, I definitely had another breakdown of like, this is not how it's supposed to be. And then once we were at the hospital, I was honestly just more in like go mode. Let's figure out what's up. Let's get healthy. Let's make sure we can get home. So that was just more like get her done. But I will also say with the emotions piece that the first day we were in the ER, and even the couple of days after when I just felt so awful, both Jason and I had moments of like, do we really want to try to have another baby? Because if this happens again, like, I don't know that we could do this again. Is it really worth it to try to have another baby knowing that this is an option? Which is wild, because we knew we wanted to have four kids. We were so excited for baby number four, but this really shook us. Our answer is now back to yes, we would love to have a fourth baby, but miscarriage is really scary and it's really hard. And I think if we were to get pregnant again and miscarry again, I think we'd be done trying, because it's just a lot. It's a lot, and something that I would not wish on anybody and certainly would not have to go through again. And I think even if we are blessed with another pregnancy, I think we'll be so much more aware during that pregnancy and even just so much more prone to fear because of what we've already experienced. So definitely kind of thinking through that and trying to, you know, prep for that as much as we can. But I feel so deeply for the mamas who have had miscarriages before having any babies earthside. I'm used to all of the poking and prodding because I've birthed three babies, but to have not gone through a birth yet and experience all of this would be so, 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 so hard. And I did have three beautiful girls to come home to. We certainly wish we could bring baby four home this summer, but there's absolutely comfort in already having kiddos. I cannot imagine first pregnancy is a miscarriage, then second, maybe third. There are people who have multiple miscarriages before ever having babies, and miscarriage is hard and awful for anybody, but I just feel so much more deeply for those moms who miscarry before ever having babies earthside. That is so, so hard. Something else that I want to share is I think after people miscarry, it's easy for people to be nervous to share that they're pregnant with a person who miscarried. I want to say for me personally, I'm certainly not speaking for anybody else. For me personally, I'm not hurt by others being pregnant. I'm not hurt by seeing any pregnancy announcements. I had a really close girlfriend call me. She knew that we were going to miscarry. She didn't know when we actually miscarried, but she knew that it was going to happen. But she called me to let me know that she was pregnant. She was about to share on social media and wanted to make sure I heard from her at first. And I was just like, man, I just want you to know that I have no hard feelings, only joy for you, because life is such a miracle. The fact that we can carry babies is such a miracle. And I was so, so excited and overjoyed for her. Something kind of similar is I was actually working with a client around that time who shared with me that she was 12 weeks along, and I didn't even skip a beat asking if she was due in July, because that's about how far along I would have been and when we were due. And so as soon as she said 12 weeks, I was like, oh, due in July, right? I wasn't upset with her or jealous at all, but it certainly did hit me that, oh, that July 18th due date that was once a thing on our mind is actually no longer my due date. But I felt this connection with this mom because she'd be carrying her baby around the same length of time that we would have. Another just kind of mental, emotional thing is I am weird and I love being pregnant. And I also really like switching gears to maternity clothes because it gives me a wardrobe change. So I also had this moment after realizing that I would not be pregnant of, oh, I'm actually not going to pull out my maternity wardrobe. When I pictured myself this summer, I pictured myself in these really comfy, flowy dresses, not in, you know, the spring and summer clothes that I've had forever. So again, that feels so pity, but just another one of those mind shifts of, oh, what I pictured for the summer is just going to look different. Now, another common miscarriage question that I certainly had, I know a lot of people have as well, is when can we try to have another baby? Again, I am not a medical provider. This is not advice for you. I'm just sharing what I was told by my care providers. So at first, when we found out that baby didn't have a heartbeat, we hadn't yet actually physically miscarried, my midwife was like, you can try basically right away. Try to have one period, and then you can try again. I have friends who said they were able to do the same thing and they were like, hey, just so you know, you're going to be super fertile after your miscarriage. There's a good chance you'll get pregnant right away, which we were thankful for. We would have loved that. But then when I actually miscarried and my blood counts were so depleted, my midwife said it would be best to try to wait about 3 months before we tried to conceive again, just to give my body time to recover, for those counts to get back up so that I could actually start off my pregnancy at a healthy space so that baby had a healthy environment to kind of grow up in. And then when I had to get the DNC, I wondered again, is this going to change the timeline of when we can try to get pregnant again? And my OB said the same thing, is just try to have one more cycle and then you can try again, which I was really thankful for, because again, another mental thing is our, you know, baby number 3 and number 4, so Isla and baby 4 would have been a little less than 2 years apart. And we were excited for that. And so now every month that goes by that we're not pregnant, we recognize that age gap is growing. Now, that's fine. Baby number, you know, Avery and Isla, number two and three are almost 3 years apart, and we are thankful and we love it. So it's not just about getting the perfect age gap. But again, just one of those things of, we had this plan of what was going to happen and we were excited, and all of a sudden that plan is gone. And it just, again, changes the way that you're thinking about things. You know, we don't feel in a rush, but also like, we'd really love to have another baby. So we would still love to have another baby, but to add to all this, my first period after this miscarriage, after the DNC, was actually really strange. Had to go in for another ultrasound. Turns out I actually have a polyp in my uterus, which could have caused the miscarriage. There's really no way of knowing if it was there before or if it came after, but it could cause future miscarriages. So we have to get that handled before we can try to conceive again. I think I'm going to wrap up here. Hopefully this has been really helpful. Yeah, my goal here is just to have an open and real conversation about miscarriage, because I just wish it would happen more often. I always try to wrap up my podcast episodes with a plan and the grace, and so I'm going to do the same thing here. So what is the plan here? Whether you are done having babies, you have some babies but want more, or you know people who are in the process of having babies, I just think this is an important conversation to have, to be aware of, to know the options, to know the possibilities, because again, I just don't think it's talked about enough. Also, if you know someone who is miscarrying, check in on them, not just once, but over time. See how they're doing emotionally, see how they're doing physically. Can you bring them meals? Can you watch their kids? This might sound strange, but Jason and I were having a debrief, I don't know, a month or two ago. He's also a counselor. And we kind of came up with this line that might be helpful to ask people of, hey, what's been the toughest thing for you? Because again, this might sound strange, but something that was actually really hard for me is people were only asking me about the emotional, where for me, the physical was way more scarring and the physical was more of the emotional piece for me. But people were like, yeah, but how are you doing emotionally? And I wanted to be like, it's the physical that I want to talk about. And there's just, again, people, I had no idea how physical miscarriage was until I actually had one. So other people don't know that. So even just recognizing it may be the physical, it may be the emotional, it may be something you don't even know that's been the hardest part for them. So just ask so that they have that platform to share what has been the hardest for them. Another plan, if you miscarry, I want to encourage you to tell people. I was so thankful that some of my close friends already knew we were pregnant, because it was so much easier to share that we had miscarried. But I also shared on my Instagram account, because again, I just think it needs to be talked about more. And my inbox flooded with like, me too. I've had this many miscarriages. I didn't feel like I could tell people. Here's what my experience was like. And just this door flooded open of, oh my gosh, thank you so much for talking about this. I've experienced this too, and it was really hard to talk about. One mama said, hey, if you're going to do anything with this, please share that I miscarried at 18 weeks and my milk came in. That was something she was not expecting. And she said, hey, if you do end up sharing a podcast, tell people that's an option, because no one prepared her for that. So talking about it is so helpful, not just for you, but for others as well. And I am not saying you have to share online, by the way, but do share with your people. I think it's really important. And man, the grace here is all of it. Miscarriage sucks. So lean on your people. Let them carry you through. Take the time that you need to grieve and recover. What, right now it's March. I miscarried in January. I feel like it's probably going to continue to be a roller coaster. We are never going to forget this precious life that we got to carry, even just for 10 weeks. So again, just don't think about miscarriage as being one event. I think it's something that's going to come up and be on your mind and heart in little pieces, probably forever. And then again, just remember that miscarriage is not your fault. Life is such a gift, and I think something like miscarriage is certainly just one reminder of the total miracle and gift it is that we can conceive babies, carry them, birth healthy babies, and just watch them grow up and really see their personalities develop. So I am, again, just super thankful for the gift of life that we all have and are able to experience, whether that's with our own babies or other people's. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is a really long episode, so if you made it through all in one go, well done. I encourage you, though, to share this episode with a friend who might be helped or encouraged or just educated from this conversation. Again, my goal here is just to open up the conversation to let you know what one person's experience looked like, because miscarriage is a lot more common than it is talked about, and I just want it to be more of a conversation. Thanks again for listening.